I'm Lodging Editor Kate Hughes. Thank you for listening to Lodging On Demand. In today's episode, Michael Williams, EVP and COO at the Lodge and Spa at Brush Creek Ranch, Carrie Ranson, Chief Development Officer at HP Hotels, Lisa Lombardo, Chief People and Culture Officer at HGD Hotels, and Nicole Painter, Director of Human Resources at O'Reilly Hospitality Management, LLC, discuss the steps they've taken to ensure their employees are kept on the payroll during this crisis, including flexing staff roles to meet the needs of this unique time. So first, I want to talk a little bit about the situations at your specific properties and companies. What gave you the idea to transform your employees' roles? Carrie, how about we start with you?
Well, good morning. Well, I think the situation at hand gave us the opportunity to switch roles. I think what's been impressive about it has really been the resiliency of our team members to want to take on other roles and kind of throw their name in the hat for trying different things. Just the necessity of, I think, and the importance of trying to keep the assets open. I had to get into some innovative changes in what we were doing at the property level, just to try and, I think when you look at the difference of the cost of staying open versus staying versus closing, 95% of our analysis continued to show minimal amounts of room rental to where we're losing less money staying open than closing. And then obviously I think the reopening and the challenges of which that brings from a close to a reopen outweighs those options and makes you, I think, look at things differently. I think it's been amazing to see whether it's our GMs jumping in to, clean floors, clean elevators, work desk shifts, night audits, et cetera, or even our team members that, carry different roles in F&B doing different things, which has allowed us to do some different cross training. And I think the other piece that it's done too is allowed us to sit back and start to reevaluate and change what our content and what our focus was previously, because obviously that looks a whole lot different. So we've used a lot of our team members to help us adjust content via the brand sites, GDS, social media campaigns, et cetera. So as we come out of this, we're focused a bit differently in how we're going after business. And then obviously there's still an attempt locally in our markets to try and capture what is out there, whether it's from healthcare workers, governmental components, transportation pieces. That's been a success for us, but that's kind of how we got to where we are and how we've made some adjustments with the teams, of which are, look, we're talking minimal teams. I've got, as an example, a 400-room double tree in Tulsa downtown with, 35,000 square feet plus of meeting space. And we're running it with a team of 9 people just to give reality to the conversation of what we're doing and how great our teams have been out there in the fields.
Lisa, how about you? What about at your properties?
HDG, we have 18 hotels in our portfolio and all remain open. And thankfully, all of our properties also were eligible for the PPP funding. So right now, we have been able to return folks to the rosters. But quite frankly, that lack of occupancy that exists right now definitely motivates us to have to think creatively about what folks will do as they return to the properties. And this is usually a high occupancy time of year for us. So we have been able to, like so many of our peers in the industry, move into project mode with deep cleaning. And there are some projects that our team members have brought to us. Our regionals and GMs circulated lists of what could we be doing right now that we have time, now that we can take this breath, what can we be doing? And we've learned and asked, what are some skills that we may not know that you have that you could now lend to the property at this time to help us to get more work done. So we have anything from housekeepers who are learning how to clean PTAC units. There's a lot of steam cleaning going on. We have front desk agents doing lot cleanup and minimal landscaping. Somebody stepped up and said they knew how to lay tile. We have cooks working maintenance. And for those who want the hours, we certainly have been able to find a way to give them those hours back on the schedule. We're also encouraging our GMs to think about a training curriculum. Maybe it's an HR training, maybe it's brand specific human trafficking, stuff that we could bring in and on a one-on-one basis, have folks doing training, possibly even in the business center, and even group classes so that we can use this time to spruce up and maybe make an investment in their professional development and in that way as well. So even putting people back to work on the properties right now, the cleaning of the public and communal spaces in the guest rooms is very different now. It's going to take a little bit longer for a checkout and even a stay over to get those rooms inspection ready. So just the process of bringing folks back and acquainting them with how hospitality looks now, because hospitality looks a little different, and it's a trick to make sure that it still feels hospitable, because a lot of what we're doing may feel initially more clinical, and especially when you're doing it wearing a face mask and all the protective, the PPE in play. But that's important for our team members to have and to learn that this is the way that things need to work now, not just for their own safety, but of course for the safety of the guests, and then for the safety of the family members that they're returning home to every day.
And Michael, you have a bit of a different perspective because you're overseeing one property. What has it been like at your hotel?
Well, we actually have four entities out on the 30,000 acres that we operate. We're a luxury guest ranch, and it's different because this COVID-19 caught us right at the tail end of our winter season. So, the governor of our state closed us down on March 24th, and we literally had a wedding in house that had to check out after one day. So that was a very interesting thing. But we went from an off season population of employees of about 130, we're down to 11 right now. And again, the difference is, we have 220 horses and we have 900 cattle, and the grass is still growing and we still got to feed and we still got to take care of our business. But what we've done this year, and again, like Carrie said, everybody is now doing everything, and we're making a decision actually today if we're actually going to open for our season. And if we open, we're taking four ranches and combining them down to one. Keep it pretty simple this year. Go back to our original ranch, which is Lodge and Spa. And we literally just opened up a new $25 million operation called The Farm last year. And we're going to put that on the shelf. And, we just completed our milking parlors for our goats. And so things have changed so drastically. But back to the question at hand, as far as how we've been able to keep employees on, we're going from five executive chefs now down to one. So it's really an interesting predicament that we're in, but we're trying to take that staffing model for the original ranch, which is from 330 people with all the ranches kicking at once, down to 138. So we've had to be very, very strategic there. And so we have people who were managers in 2019 who will be housekeeping inspectors.
Nicole, what about at O'Reilly Hospitality Management? What's been going on there?
Well, as everyone's been experiencing, it's kind of come in waves. So the first initial wave was shock and survival. So adapting, and kind of the themes that we decided early on is who knows what this is going to look like when it's all over and we come out of it. But and I know the buzzword from early on and all the webinars and communication rolling out from CDC and and other governing bodies was just fluidity. So how can we be adaptable, nimble, fluid, utilize, obviously being hospitality, many of you have said this already, but people are helpful. They want to help. How can I help? We had just an amazing response from the team members on, you know, my normal day-to-day duties are a general manager, but I am happy to do housekeeping. You know, it's a team approach, and we call our employees team members. So the team members have been extremely receptive to those changes of I'm going to flex and maybe I've never done this before, but I'm going to learn it and be adaptable and nimble. So that's been extremely helpful as we've navigated through this. As many others, we've had to go down to the skeleton crews, and that was tough. It was really tough. But luckily, we were able to be approved for those PPP loans and have been able to bring them back. Of course, I'm sure you all are facing, many aren't coming back for a variety of reasons, childcare, unemployment, so on and so forth. But we've been really focused on, now that we have the funds to bring people back, there's not necessarily enough to do. Revenues are down. We also have restaurants, so obviously can't have people in the restaurant doing carryout service. But being able to utilize that precious gift of time that we've never really had before. It's been go, 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 90 miles an hour all the time. So using that precious gift of time for special projects, for deep cleaning, we've had people, we've set up Facebook groups for everyone to stay connected, private groups, and trying to communicate with our laid off team members to showcase what we're doing. We're still a team. We're going to come out of this. It may not look the same, but we are going to come out of it, and keep the morale up as much as we can. But taking that precious gift of time, doing deep cleaning, we're sharing pictures of what people and projects are going on throughout the company, flipping mattresses, just those little things, that special projects that we've never had time to do. But in the beginning, it was really challenging with people being flexible. That's great, but we were seeing a little bit of burnout. So it's been nice to bring people back on those special projects. But transforming the employees' roles, some other things that we were surprised to see was the adaptability of some from the corporate office, whether they be revenue managers or regional directors of operations. They're floaters. So as we knew, when we cut down to skeleton crews, we had to do it, but it wasn't a long-term solution. We knew there were going to be ramifications of that, working long hours, just with the stress of COVID, you know, personally, how it impacts your family and your community.
So it sounds like, talking to all of you, that people have been really open to flexing their roles and taking on new responsibilities and learning new systems. But you also mentioned, Lisa, that some people were starting to get burned out. People were taking on too much. What are some of the other pitfalls that you've encountered since flexing your employees' roles? Carrie, do you want to weigh in on that?
One of the burnout piece is a piece that's been a huge concern of ours from the get-go. It's still a concern of mine as we come out of this, because I think we're going to have a pretty Herculean task in front of us as far as, even though if you're open, I think we're going to have to reopen these hotels. But back to this piece, I think some of the things that we did and have tried to continue to do is adjust scheduling. So, you know, when we started, it was the momentum of energy, and you've got people working 6 days a week, sometimes 10 hours a shift. And with it, you know, we took a step back and, like, all right, guys, we can't keep working the way we've always worked, whether it was, you know, normal 3 to 11, 7 to 3 shifts. We've got to break this up, and it's got to be broken up into either 3 12-hour shifts a week, or 4 10-hour shifts a week, and we've got to get people time away from this. And so that's some of what we've done with our current scheduling.
Michael, what about on the ranch? I would imagine burnout, and there could be other issues that affect your employees if they're taking on a job that they're not used to taking on, especially when it comes to something like animal care.
I have to tell you, it's unique, and being out in the air and being out in the landscape, it's minimized. But I will tell you, when you're taking a director of rooms and you're putting a stain brush in their hands, you know, that's an interesting thing. They get more stain on their clothes than they get on the logs. But again, everybody has been a trooper, and then they understand that what they're doing is potentially getting the ranch prepared to bring back 138 people, not totally, but to bring those associates back. So they know that they're the chosen ones that have been asked to stay on to do whatever. They take that with their chins up and their eyes straight forward. And I think that kind of equals that out. I think everyone is working probably harder than they've ever worked, but they understand that they're carrying the load for the entire team. And I think that really allows them to have the stamina and being proud in being able to carry that torch.
I also want to talk about transitioning back to quote unquote normal when the crisis begins to pass. So Nicole, do you guys have a plan for how you will approach that? How you will transition your employees back to their original roles, or will they all transition back? Is there a chance you're going to rethink the way you staff?
I'd like to say we have a plan. I think we kind of think about it every day. We don't have a formal plan as everything's changing in the different states we're in on when everyone's reopening. And honestly, we don't know what that's going to look like. We hope that it increases in revenue, occupancy, so on and so forth. But to be honest, we just don't know. So we have our staffing model right now. We were eligible for the PPP loan, and we've targeted 50% for most properties. We've been able to hit that. But I'm not sure we'll ever be able to get back to the 100 for a while, the 100% team member level that we were at pre-crisis. So to answer your question, I'm not sure we have a formal transition plan. We are just going to take it day by day and have a little bit more formal program when we understand the implications of when the economies in the cities and the counties open back up, what that looks like. Of course, we'll continue to do the social distancing and abide by all the PPE and the safety and health. That's our primary concern as we open back up. Thermometers, masks. We've employed a few people to make masks for all of our team members in addition to purchasing some. So that first and foremost is the most important thing to ensure safety for our guests and our team members. And then we'll just adapt and morph as the occupancies hopefully continue to rise.
And Lisa, what about at your properties?
Right now, a lot of what we're doing and bringing people back to the schedule and making sure that we'll be able to keep them on the schedule with the hours that we're able to give them currently, it's dependent on recovery. And for all of us, no matter where our markets may be located, that there is this incremental, responsible rate of recovery that leads to occupancy that can allow us to have folks on our schedule that we can pay for and wean ourselves off of these PPP funds. You know, they only last for a certain time period. And for us, it's just giving our team members that confidence and security that there remains a place for them within our operation. And yes, there's a place for them, but making sure that as they're returning, they feel safe and confident that they're protected and safeguarded being at the property and being at work and being an essential team member. You know, it's been a process, and a lot of us are learning as we go. But so far, the response has been incredible. I mean, the energy and the smiles as people are returning to the properties. I mean, it's given us all another pep in our step and been a relief to the GMs, because the GMs for the prior weeks have really been carrying our hotels on their backs. And now they're getting some relief and being able to welcome folks back to the property and provide some opportunities. But the one thing we are just extremely hopeful for, and we're going to remain optimistic, is that we as a country start moving toward recovery and reopening so that we can kind of get everybody naturally back to work and start churning again. That's what a lot of this depends on.
Carrie, how about in your situation?
For the last 2 weeks or so, I mean, we've been, I think, uber focused on what does this look like as we come out of this, and what do we need to do, and what are the processes that we're going to need to follow to carry through it, whether it's starting with complete hygiene plans, although obviously the brands will have their own. We're trying to get out in front of this to have that ready to go. We've developed a few small task force in the field to assist in tackling some of that work as we're doing it. I think the important piece on this that we've, our staff shared with us is, look, the transparency that we've given to them through this needs to continue. I think that's part of our strategy and our branding and our communications as we go up forward too, is the importance of that transparency that, as we're bringing team members back on, that the next 18 to 24 months are going to look like an EKG. And so we're going to have some ups and downs. We'll need them to be part of help and find ways through the up and downs.
What responsibilities do hotels have to their employees in a time like this? Because that's really what all of this comes down to. Everyone's trying to keep their properties open, but it's also trying to keep as many people as possible employed. So, Lisa, what should hoteliers be keeping in mind as they make these decisions?
Our vision at HDG Hotels is to positively impact the people in the world around us. And that absolutely starts with our team members. And we are, all of us in this industry, we're fiduciaries of our team members' livelihoods. And so we are committed to putting things in place that ensure they feel safe in their work environment. And the rippling out impact of the measures that we're all putting in place right now, industry-wide, again, HDG Hotels is not alone in the measures we're putting into place, is that if we're doing these things to protect the well-being, the financial and physical well-being of our team members, then our guests will also ultimately be the beneficiaries of those measures. So it's all about what we can do to put our team members first. They are our heartbeat. And with them, so many of them coming back on board right now, it's just, oh my goodness, our heartbeat is back. But that's where we are with this. Just whatever we can do to protect the financial and physical health of our team members.
And Michael, how about you?
The same thing applies. It, when we had to, let go of people, it's the genuine care and concern of how to deal with this. The plus side of this is we've allowed all of our employees and managers who had to leave the organization, hopefully temporarily, they've been able to stay rent-free in their housing. They are picking up their portion of their health insurance, but we're picking up the rest. So we've kept that intact, as I said before, with our food drives. We actually we participate in a trade show company, a sales trade show company sponsored by HB Events. And they literally gave us back $7,000 of the canceled shows that they're doing. And we're putting that into our employee fund as well. So I just think, it's different for all of us, but I think it's just the genuine care and concern of how we deal with our associates, because they're the ones who deliver the service. They're the ones who bring the brick and mortar to life. And this will pass, and we will bring people back. But I think, as Carrie said, it's a different norm. We're going into this year. We'll be open from June the 7th through October the 18th, and we truly have to make hay when the sun shines. But it's not going to be at 80-85% like we normally do during the season. It's probably going to be 30 points less than that. So how do we make money? And that's the only money that we make during the year. So it's a different norm. But again, we have so many other things that we have to deal with as well. These people live together. It used to be that they lived four people to a room. Now it'd be down to about two to a room or one to a room. But again, it's we're bringing a full-time EMT on our staff this year. We'll be doing daily temperature checks with wristbands, nightly temperature checks. We have a place where we'll quarantine anyone on a different ranch so we can totally get them off. But the other thing I think we all are concerned with is the people that come into our businesses and the people that come into our 1,200 person community from New York or from New Jersey. So I think those are all major, major concerns of ours, and we're trying to put the bow and tie on those SOPs that I think we're all rewriting. But everything's changed. Everything's changed from our food service to our employee dining to our housekeeping standards to our check-in standards. And we also offer 20-some odd activities all the way from shooting to riding to fishing. And there's a lot of close encounters with guides. So we're trying to work through all of those.
And Nicole, what about at your properties? What responsibilities are you keeping in mind to employees as you work through this process?
Well, I think someone said it earlier. I think transparency and communication is the key, even for the laid off team members, trying to stay informed and in contact with them so they understand what's going on in addition to the active team members. There's a lot of uncontrollable throughout this whole thing. It will continue to look that way in some regards. We just don't know what the future holds. It's certainly not going to be the same by any means. So we're trying to focus on the controllable things, as mentioned previously, focus on the safety and health and well-being, not only the PPE, which I think is a big deal. People are concerned about being a essential worker, and what does that mean for myself, for my family, so on and so forth. So doing everything we possibly can and communicating that out is important for the safety and well-being of our team members. And then also we've done quite a bit with trying to promote the employee assistance program, as I'm sure others have on this call, but mental health, physical health, and really looking at that as a whole. So we've had some webinars we talk about, and we have biweekly calls with our general managers at all of our properties just to make sure everyone's taking care of themselves. Because someone had mentioned earlier, this is going to be a marathon. So equipping our team members with the resources and toolkits that they need to be successful, and then being transparent. We don't have everything figured out, and that's okay. We're going to work together as a team. We're going to adapt. We're going to focus on being creative with sales, with revenue. Because it is about, at the end of the day, you have to make money to stay where you can keep team members employed and bring back people sooner than later, which is really important. So I think the important things are focus on the controllable, what we can do, and being transparent, communicating, and then staying true to your roots and who you are, the DNA of your company. So we focus a ton, we always have, on community outreach. And we've seen some of the biggest smiles on our team members' faces from paying a little program that our marketing and revenue teams rolled out called Pay It Forward concept, but providing meals to healthcare workers. And that is some of the biggest smiles that I've seen on the team members' faces in weeks. So going back to the roots and the DNA of what makes you tick and taking care of your team, that's going to get the biggest rewards, in my opinion, and what I've seen even over the last couple of weeks. This week, it was Earth Day, and people were taking pictures of what they were doing. They were planting trees outside. They were getting outside. They were getting some sunshine. But focusing on the mental health, the physical health, making sure people are taking care of themselves so then we can take care of our guests, because it is a ripple effect. Happy team members equals happy guests. So just making sure that you're focusing on the controllable and then the safety, health, mental, physical, all of that, and going back to what you're good at, and that's helping others and helping people in the community.
Terry, you want to wrap it up? Any responsibilities that you're keeping in mind to your employees as your company makes decisions at this time?
Probably more so than just the team members and the responsibility. I think it's probably overarching in the fact of our industry. And a lot of times it's discounted. I mean, we are a growth mechanism for a large percentage of our team members, and that's what's great about our industry. And so, and taking that responsibility and looking at it as we come through this, you know, I think while we look ourselves in the mirror and try and say that we're a great employer and we've done things over the years to try and keep that going forward from a culture standpoint, the reality of this is factual. I mean, I think we're going to be lucky to probably retain 20% of our past hourly team members, which is, it's sad. But at the same time, I think it's going to open up opportunities for them to better themselves potentially and opportunities, higher pay potentially with other people that may quickly come out and think that that's the answer to getting team members on. And so with that, we've got a responsibility to retool and get ourselves ready from a training perspective and reintroducing culture to a lot of new team members that have not worked with us in the past. And so with it, you know, I think it sets up another opportunity for our industry to have a great talent pool to choose from. But first and foremost, I probably look at it as an overarching piece and responsibility we have in giving people opportunities. And that's the responsibility we look at. And I think that's the sad part about all this right now, as people are out of employment, is the fact that what our industry does offer to people.
Well, thank you guys so, so much for making time this morning.
Thank you.
Well, thanks for
everyone
having
have a great day.
Appreciate the opportunity.
Yes.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to Lodging on Demand. If you want more content like this, please subscribe to our channel. Or you can listen to Lodging on Demand as a podcast on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and Spotify.